Monsieur.
Zabij się go!
My name's Daniel Bird. I am one of the producers of the restoration of On the Silver Globe, and I also worked with Andrzej Żywawski on the English language subtitles. My interest in the film goes back to the mid-1990s. I had seen Żywawski's most famous, or rather infamous, film, Possession, and I was very eager to see all the other films he'd done. And I managed to get hold of a video cassette of On the Silver Globe. It wasn't the complete film. It was only about 2 hours or less. And it was on VHS, no subtitles. But it was a real remarkable experience watching this film. There were images which were not like anything I'd seen in Polish cinema, anything in world cinema. And it did feel like receiving some sort of strange alien signal.
Hi, I'm Adam.
And I'm Nitsan, and this is Stories from the East and West.
Now, imagine, if you will, the original Star Wars movie, but instead of all those star cruisers and intergalactic battles, it was about a dystopian moon where the descendants of astronauts are enslaved by bird-like monsters with telepathic powers.
And instead of witty one-liners from Harrison Ford, you get dense philosophical monologues referencing mystical religious texts.
All this doesn't even begin to do justice to the unique craziness of Andrzej Żywawski's film On the Silver Globe. There's really nothing else like it, and probably never will be again. It's a film that could only have been made in the state-funded cinema of 1970s Poland.
And paradoxically, it was that very same system that allowed the production to be shut down with 3/4 of the film already shot.
Our producer Piotr talked with surviving members of the production team to bring you the story of this infamous Eastern Bloc sci-fi movie.
Coming up on Stories from the Eastern West.
Zlín, Praha, Warszawa, Madrid, London, Paris, New York, Casablanca.
Where you see a kind of totality of the human presence.
Absolutely, absolutely. That is exactly
what
Stories from the Eastern West.
On the Silver Globe is based on a trilogy of books by Jerzy Żywawski, the Lunar Trilogy, about a group of astronauts who go to the moon and who settle there. They're wanting to escape the horrors of Earth and begin a new life, a utopia. But it all goes wrong. And what ultimately happens is that they have children, and the children grow up under the spell of a primitive religion.
Scheduled to begin shooting in early 1976, Andrzej Żywawski's adaptation of his great uncle's epic sci-fi trilogy was set to be one of the most expensive films ever made in Poland.
It had a starting budget of around 60 million złotych, which was about 10 times the cost of the average Polish film at the time. Of course, as in the rest of the Eastern Bloc, all of this money came from state funding. And, with such a large budget, expectations were high.
The Minister of Cinematography, yep, that was the thing, Mieczysław Wojciech, hoped that On the Silver Globe would be a calling card for Polish cinematography and attract large audiences both at home and abroad.
So it was written as a science fiction film in the mid-1970s. This is almost exactly the same time that George Lucas was dreaming up and producing Star Wars. They are essentially space operas in the profound sense, in the way that they are fairy tales. They're concerned with the origins of myth and religion.
But unlike Star Wars: A New Hope, which became a worldwide box office hit and would come to dominate popular culture for the next 40 years, On the Silver Globe would itself become something of a cinematic relic. After the production was suddenly shut down on the 1st of June, 1977, the film would be almost forgotten.
So where did it all go wrong? Well, to start with, the situation in Poland wasn't exactly ideal for a production of this size.
The economy is flatlining, and of course, this is one of the reasons why there was so much political unrest towards the end of the 1970s. People tend to strike and revolt when there's not enough money to put food on the table. And this was a poor country going bankrupt, making a very ambitious science fiction film.
Another big risk was the director of the film himself. Just 3 years earlier, Żuławski had been forced to leave Poland after his second feature, The Devil, was banned for its extreme violence and direct allusions to what Poland was like under communism.
Getting banned, of course, meant that the film had made exactly zero money at the box office. But they decided to ignore all of that when it came to letting him make a film with a record-breaking budget.
The reason was that after moving to France, he had a ton of success with the film That Most Important Thing, Love, starring Romy Schneider. As well as having made a hit, it seemed that Żuławski was now willing to tone things down a little.
Kiedy on obiecywał, że nie zrobi filmu agresywnego, nie zrobi filmu politycznego,
ani... He promised that he wouldn't make an aggressive film, nor a political one, nor in any way challenge the power structures of communist Poland.
That was Michał Zabłocki, second production manager on the film.
On napisał taki kilkustronicowy list.
He wrote a letter that was a few pages long, where he references Andrei Tarkovsky's Solaris, and in particular Stanley Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey. And I can tell you that he had a gift for seduction, and not just of women, of course, but every person that crossed his path.
Każdego, kogo spotkał na swojej drodze.
Zabłocki was part of the production team based at the Wrocław Film Studio. They now faced the enormous task of shooting a sci-fi film with dozens of locations, spaceships, and moon vehicles, using the less than stellar technology available in 1970s Poland.
We were making the film under the assumption that there wouldn't be any special effects. They simply didn't exist in Polish cinema. These were times when we were still under an embargo. We didn't have those kind of computers.
So Żuławski and the production team would have to come up with very original solutions to get the film made, as cinematographer Andrzej Jaroszewicz explains.
Myśmy nie chcieli robić filmu, w cudzysłowie, amerykańskiego science fiction, zresztą w tych...
We didn't want to make an American sci-fi film, something like Star Trek. That wasn't something we were even considering.
Together with Żuławski, they came up with the visual concept for the film, a barren, post-communist future where space travel was a reality.
But everything is held together with string and nails, and sometimes there are nails missing, but it all somehow stays together.
The costumes, for example, which we see in the first part of the film, they're almost practically adapted from kind of the suits, pilot suits, in the Second World War.
The costume designers had an enormous task on their hands. They had to design hundreds of costumes for a new civilization emerging on the moon, one that rapidly evolves as the film progresses.
They were masters at bricolage, finding trash, adapting them, transforming rubbish into gold. They were alchemists.
After much preparation, the filming of Żuławski's space opera finally began. But it was clear from the very start that it wasn't going to be easy.
Żuławski insisted that, for instance, for the seaside scenes, there had to be 200 extras there every single day.
And getting all the camera equipment to remote filming locations wasn't easy either, as first assistant cameraman Stefan Kuszyp explains.
Wszyscy, żeby dostać się na szczyt,
to get to the top of a sand dune from which you could see the sea on one side and a lake on the other, we all had to walk 1.5 to 2 hours carrying the equipment. We didn't have it easy.
To trzeba było no 1.5-2 godziny targać się ze sprzętem. Nie było tak lekko, jak Andrzej zwolnił swoich.
After Andrzej had fired 4 or 5 physicists and directors because they weren't fulfilling their duties, the rest of the crew knew that we had to really give it everything we had.
The most interesting moment for the crew, and you could say a sort of bonus for them, was a trip to Mongolia in August of 76.
Both Star Wars, like on the Silver Globe, uses outlandish locations as a substitute for fantastical landscapes.
That's Daniel Bird again.
So in the case of Star Wars, you have Tunisia, I think, which was the shooting location. And in the case of On the Silver Globe, Mongolia, which, of course, was part of the Soviet Union. And that, of course, made it much easier to shoot there, given the fact that this was a film made during the communist period.
To fantastycznie wyglądało na ekranie.
It looked amazing on screen, these lunar rovers, which were actually repurposed training vehicles with caterpillar tracks. They traveled with us to Mongolia, and the Gobi Desert served as the moon. It really was this completely desolate, fantastical landscape. 360 degrees and not a tree in sight.
The production then returned to Poland. To shoot scenes in an underground city, the crew went deep into the Wieliczka salt mines, the shallower parts of which are today a popular tourist destination in Krakow.
It was necessary to come up with these quite poetic solutions, like shooting in a salt mine rather than building a set.
We left Kraków each day at 5 or 6 in the morning for the mine in Wieliczka, where we went down in those cramped elevators, a few of us at a time. And then we had to march almost 3 kilometers to Magiernik Cave. We couldn't use incandescent lights because of the methane gas. We couldn't smoke cigarettes either.
Magiernik is the large cave where many of the important underground scenes take place, such as when a priest rallies a crowd to wage war against terrifying bird-like creatures called the Shedden.
Leading the campaign against the Shern is Marek, played by Andrzej Severin. He travels from a post-apocalyptic Earth to the Moon, and upon his arrival, the offspring of the original astronauts anoint him as their savior. It doesn't end particularly well for the character, and Severin found filming it all similarly hard.
I found myself in situations that demanded a certain amount of physical endurance. For example, walking in freezing water in a spacesuit, or being naked in freezing water, or naked in the production hall in Wrocław, or almost naked on a cross at the seaside, several meters up, being crucified.
It was very cold when we filmed Severin's crucifixion and the impalement of all those priests.
Andrzej liked filming outdoors. He thought that the real earth, real air, sun, rain, clouds, they completely change a film and the actors. It was all really important to him.
To think that a crew was spending months working in these conditions, it really is a testament to not just the particular way of thinking of making films in the 1970s, in this pre-CGI era, but also it says a lot, I think, about the character of Żuławski, somebody who was charismatic and had the ability to persuade not just authorities, but also a crew to work and give so much of their own time and energy and sanity, quite frankly, to a vision.
But despite the best efforts of the crew, the production would soon face considerable difficulties. For one thing, the logistical problems involved with getting hundreds of unique costumes made on time was beginning to have serious consequences for the film's schedule and budget. Second production manager Michał Zabłocki explains.
Byliśmy w gospodarce niedoborów.
We had a deficit economy. Just about everything had to be planned well in advance. Additionally, we couldn't outsource work to private individuals. And that's the reason that we had the first halt in production, which lasted 3 months.
Yeah, we had production problems. Andrzej was very demanding, and unfortunately, there were situations where the money ran out.
All of this was caused by the fact that, on the one hand, Żuławski was right that Polish cinematography wasn't ready for this kind of production, but look, he knew what he was getting himself into. He was perfectly aware of all this. We had two additional funding grants. They didn't give it enthusiastically, but the extra money was granted. We were allocated more raw film stock, and from the documents that I have in my possession, I know that the part of the production I took part in, that is the shooting of the film, cost around 89 million złotych.
That was an increase of almost 50% compared to the originally approved budget, something pretty much unheard of in today's film business.
And these budget increases were getting more difficult to obtain as it became more apparent that the film Żuławski was making wasn't the one that had been approved and expected. This didn't appear to be a film with popular appeal that would bring in large audiences and overseas interest.
The crew began to divide into two main groups, the main creative team who were fully behind Żuławski and his vision, and those in the production team who weren't entirely convinced by the direction he was taking.
Niestety, muszę to powiedzieć z przykrością, reżyser się nie trzymał scenariusza.
Unfortunately, and I say this with regret, the director didn't keep to the script. During the shoot, we filmed around 200 extra scenes. There was so much footage. Altogether, we exposed 83,000 feet of negative. That kind of tells you something.
To chyba też o czym świadczy.
Jedna wersja to była ta oficjalna, a to co kręciliśmy.
One version of the script was the official one, and the one we shot was a bit different. The scenes were changed a bit, and some of the dialogue. Żuławski was adding things that couldn't have been put in the script earlier.
Ten materiał scenariuszowy był dla Żuławskiego zbyt wątły.
Żuławski thought the original script was a bit meager, and so began the adding of various oddities. I call them oddities, but they were fragments of text that Żuławski often wrote at night and then brought in for the actors to learn. They were excerpts from his journals, quotes from Aristotle, Plato and other philosophers. And so when you watch the film today, well, parts of the audience find the film hard to follow.
We should probably mention that for the majority of On the Silver Globe, the characters speak in this strange kind of poetic language, departing far away from any kind of naturalism.
I remember well a monologue, which he called the Hamlet monologue. But I only received it in the morning, just before shooting. Back then I was able to learn it, but I'm not sure about today.
Jestem sam. Książę pośrodku lodowatego pokoju.
I'm alone. A prince in the middle of an icy room, hollowed out of an icy space. I carry my own space in me. I am carrying it in an absurd land, in an absurd time. As if the entire world, the big one and the one inside me, is merged into a hateful vision of their bodies, looking for meaning in the other, a meaning which their bodies cannot communicate.
This was an artistic film, and at the same time a mega production, something that wouldn't be possible under other circumstances. Żuławski himself mentioned a few times when we began shooting that probably no one in the West would have allowed him to embark on something like this.
As the production dragged on over 18 months, along with various delays, Żuławski's intense and uncompromising directing style was also taking its toll on the crew.
Kiedyś w jakiejś scenie Szernowi zaczęła palić się głowa.
We were shooting a scene and the head of one of the bird creatures caught on fire. Andrzej Jaroszewicz was behind the camera. Because he noticed the flames, he stopped filming and started putting out the burning head of the Szern.
Usłyszeliśmy bardzo ostry.
And Żuławski started yelling at Jaroszewicz. He really ripped into him and told him that he was the only one that said stop, not the cinematographer.
A nie operator.
Ekipa w pewnym momencie była zmęczona, bo była.
At a certain point, the crew were just exhausted. They were all far from home because, really, we were filming all over Poland. We had to replace set designers, wardrobe assistants, lighting technicians. We had four different camera operators. We also had an assistant director who ended up under psychiatric observation. This also shows you that people simply couldn't take the mental tension that was involved. Because Żuławski had a very specific method of working, everything ran on the highest gear. He was a master at creating this psychotic kind of atmosphere.
Był mistrzem stwarzania takiej psychotycznej atmosfery.
Pamiętam kiedyś robiłem takie.
I remember one time we were shooting this lengthy scene where I was arguing with the Schön, and it required a huge amount of effort and concentration. It was really, really, really difficult physically and mentally.
Jesteś zwierzęciem!
Ty jesteś zwierzęciem i sobą.
A więc mówisz!
Nie, to ty słyszysz.
Pamiętam po jednym z ujęć.
And I remember that after we shot one of the takes, I got up onto my feet and calmly asked, was that okay?
Zostałem opieprzony przez Andrzeja.
That's when Andrzej really laid into me. He said that after a take like that, I should fall to the ground and be unable to move. That I should be exhausted. I should be playing it in such a way, with such commitment, that I'm unable to function normally for some time afterward. And here I was, getting up and asking if it was okay.
Jak było, prawda?
It seems ironic to me that the film is about a Christ-like figure played by Andrzej Severin, and he becomes unstuck, his character, Marek, in the film, when people lose faith and question his role. I think something very similar happened to Żuławski halfway through the production of On the Silver Globe. I think that he had his believers, but I think people in different levels of the production started to doubt whether he had a vision and question where the film was going, whether all of this work in outrageously difficult conditions was in vain. So, I think there's a whole degree of life imitating art.
Despite the many delays and difficulties, On the Silver Globe would most likely have been completed sometime in 1977, if it weren't for the arrival of party hardliner Janusz Wilhelmi.
The cinematography minister Wojtek, the one who had greenlighted the production and was a huge enthusiast of the film, was suddenly out of a job. And the new minister took an immediate interest in this increasingly expensive production.
Wilhelmi watched some of the raw footage, so he was forming his own opinion. He demanded that the footage be brought to him without the director's knowledge, and we had to follow orders. Wilhelmi and his aides were shocked by the materials. They were shocked for various reasons.
Still, since most of the film had already been shot, it was expected that he would agree to fund its completion anyway, which is what usually happened, even if the film ended up being censored. But the new minister had other ideas.
That's one of those questions. Why did Wilhelmi shut it down? What was the real reason that Wilhelmi shut down the production?
Well, firstly, cancelling the film was a chance to score a direct political hit against his rivals in the Ministry of Culture, who had approved the project. Secondly, it sent a clear message to the Polish film industry that he was now the one in charge. And thirdly, there was one scene in the film that particularly bothered Wilhelmi, the mass crucifixion on the Baltic seaside, which hadn't been in the original approved script.
Oto się właśnie wściekał, okazało się potem, pan minister.
That's what the minister was really furious about, it turned out later. It's an old school custom that when a new regime comes in, they eliminate their predecessors, every last one, so that they don't oppose the new ones. And he believed that this would be how it got interpreted by audiences, that when the political system in Poland changes, that the old guard should be stoned to death, killed, like what they did to Ceausescu in Romania. And that's what he was afraid of. Wilhelmi was smart. He understood the symbolic meaning of it.
Wilhelmi summoned the producer of the film and asked him three questions. because he'd received another request for funding.
Ponieważ znowu dostał wniosek o dofinansowanie.
First, he asked if he could guarantee that if they received this third round of extra funding, that the film would definitely be completed. And the producer answered, in line with his conscience, that he couldn't give such a guarantee.
Drugie pytanie, jakie Wilhelmi zadał, to było, czy...
The second question Wilhelmi asked him was, will they definitely finish the film within the new schedule that had been set? In other words, the two extra months they'd give after a year of shooting.
No i tutaj też zgodnie ze swoim sumieniem Rylski.
And here, once again, in line with his conscience, the producer answered that he couldn't guarantee that. And then came the third question, and the most important one. Wilhelmi asked if he thought that the film would achieve great success with audiences at home and overseas. And the answer was that, in all honesty, the film was difficult viewing.
That morning, we were getting ready to leave for the day's shoot. The extras were ready. The production manager arrives and says, "Lads, we're staying here. There's been a decision made in Warsaw to stop the film. There's no money. That's it."
Nigdy nie dostaliśmy żadnego oficjalnego pisma na ten temat.
We never received any official paperwork regarding this. Just a phone telegram from the head of the film studio that we were to secure the set and disperse.
Jak grom z jasnego nieba padło, bo...
It was like thunder had struck out of nowhere, because we had 72.6% of the filming done. That's how much I was paid for, according to my contract. The spaceship, the rocket that was transported to the Georgian Mountains, it was ready and waiting for us. We were supposed to fly there in 2 or 3 days, and suddenly, bang, it was all stopped. The decision of a minister.
Decision pana ministra.
The spaceship in Georgia wasn't the only one. Of all the futuristic sets and vehicles that had been specially built at the studio in Wrocław, less than a third actually ended up being filmed.
And so the film ended up without a beginning, an ending, and part of the middle.
Po prostu pakowaliśmy się.
We simply started packing up. We met in the evening at a restaurant in town, and what I can tell you, we all got very drunk. And the next day, on my way back to Wrocław with the equipment, my head was roaring as if I had taken the sea along with me.
To w głowie mi szumiało, jakbym morze za sobą zabrał. Tak, niestety, był efekt.
Unfortunately, that was the end effect. We were all in mourning. We wanted to finish it, to get it done, but, well, it ended how it ended.
As for Żuławski himself, the minister's decision was devastating.
Żuławski po przerwaniu produkcji najpierw się rozpłakał.
After the production was shut down, Żuławski at first broke down in tears. He asked for a car to drive to Warsaw. But it looked as if the minister had no intention of restarting the production, because he wasn't even willing to meet with the director, which I regard as being incredibly bad-mannered and rude, because he could have at least met with him in person and proposed some terms. And I think Żuławski would have accepted those terms. But that's not what Wilhelmi wanted. He wanted there to be a clear halt in the production. He wanted to show who was in charge. And after a few days, when it became clear that no one had any intention of talking to him, Żuławski emigrated.
Żuławski po prostu wyemigrował.
Pan Wilhelmi wezwał nas gdzieś tam po 2 czy 3 tygodniach.
Wilhelmi summoned us after 2 or 3 weeks and tried to convince us that Żuławski had lied to us and that when he makes films in the West, he behaves completely differently. At that point, I spoke up and said, "Excuse me, but I've made films with Żuławski in the West and that isn't true. Żuławski always fights for what he wants." And he just looked at me and lifted his finger and said,
"Ja wiem lepiej."
Believe me, I know better. So he was that kind of man, that kind of mentality. He simply knew better.
So, is that how the story of On the Silver Globe ends? Well, not quite. Żuławski returned to Poland in the late 1980s as the communist system was in its death throes. The film was patched together from the footage that had already been shot.
The missing parts of the story were narrated by Żuławski himself, and this was played over the documentary footage shot on the streets of Warsaw and other locations in Poland.
Jacek turns his back to the screen. Very slowly he sinks to his knees and bends down to the ground. It's a heart attack. Jacek is dying. The astronauts rush to help. They pound on his chest. Nothing helps. From a corner in the casino, Jacek is watching his own death.
This was clearly not the film that they had originally set out to make, as cinematographer Andrzej Jaroszewicz explains.
After 10 years, it wasn't really feasible to film the rest of the story because the actors had changed, some of the costumes had disappeared, and we were different. Żuławski was different. He'd made other films in the meantime. There wasn't really any point in finishing it properly. So the idea we had to finish the film involved Żuławski writing a commentary where he explains what's supposed to have happened in the missing scenes and just narrates the story. And to be immodest, this gave a new value to the film. It's no longer just a film with some kind of narrative arc, but it's also a film about the process of creation. About how authors came upon misfortune and about what could have been. So right now it's something completely different, a kind of historical testimony about a particular time in Poland.
The film more or less disappeared into obscurity for the next 26 years. Apart from occasional retrospectives of Żuławski's work, it circulated on worn-out videotapes, passed between film buffs as a sort of mythical forgotten relic.
Finally, in 2016, after the release of Żuławski's final film, Cosmos, funding was secured to digitally restore On the Silver Globe for a new generation of viewers.
Przyjęcie młodych ludzi jest w tej chwili fenomenalne. To jest coś takiego.
The reaction of young people now is remarkable. I think it's something to do with, maybe I'm being immodest, but I think we made the film too early. The film was, you could say, multi-layered, complicated. So it's maybe only now that the right time for it has come, because people think about things a bit differently. It's possible that Żuławski was a bit forward with his thinking.
But given everything he had gone through in trying to make On the Silver Globe, the director himself was initially reluctant to return to it.
It's not that he didn't want On the Silver Globe restored. He was presenting reasons not to confront it. And so I sort of initiated that restoration and then told him. Pretty much the same moment we were threading the camera negative into the scanner, Żuławski got news that he had terminal cancer, so it became a sort of race to not rush the film but complete it in time and to get Andrzej Żuławski's involvement in the film, making sure that the film had the right colour and visual texture and details. And the last time I saw Żuławski was a few days before his death, and I was with Andrzej Jaroszewicz, and it was quite nice to see them both together for one final hug, celebrating that after all of these years, they finally finished this damn film.
Despite its tumultuous history, or maybe because of it, On the Silver Globe's place in the Sci-Fi Cinema Hall of Fame is becoming more widely acknowledged. When it was shot in the mid-1970s, dystopian sci-fi didn't really exist as a film genre, and the first Mad Max film was still a few years away. The unique look of the costumes designed by Magdalena Tesławska almost certainly had an influence on the style of other dystopian films that followed.
As for whether On the Silver Globe would have achieved the success and influence of Star Wars or Mad Max had it been completed and released in 1977, we'll leave for you to ponder. But it's definitely 2 hours and 46 minutes of celluloid that you won't soon forget. This episode of Stories from the East and West was written and produced by Piotr Wołoczko for Culture PL and hosted by Adam Żuławski and me, Nitzan Reisner.
It was edited by Wojciech Oleksiak with some help from me. Wojciech also did the music and sound design.
We'd like to thank Andrzej Jaroszewicz, Andrzej Seweryn, Stefan Kurzyb and Jerzy Śnieżawski for talking to us.
Many thanks also to Daniel Bird for guiding us through the strange world that is on the Silver Globe. And thank you to Michał Zabłocki for sharing with us his in-depth understanding of the film's production.
And lastly, a special thanks to Maria Dufek, costume designer at the CETA Audiovisual Technology Center in Wrocław, for her help and extensive knowledge.
Make sure to subscribe or check our feed next month for more stories from the East and West.
See you next time!